Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
So what we see here is kind of two women whose lives have had quite a turn. Really, in kind of the subtitle, my message being life disrupted, is what we see here is that they are facing a disruption in their life that, you know, probably months before it happened, they didn't see that this being a real viable option or anything like this would happen at all. And, you know, it kind of reminds even myself sometimes that you ever find yourself kind of running as fast as you can through life, and the next thing you know, you run into like this incredible, powerful disruption in your life. I mean, we probably all have at some point, and if you haven't, well, just, you know, hold on a little bit. Just wait. It'll probably happen to you at some point. It's kind of the part of life and the way life is. And if we look back in the story and kind of set some of the groundwork and the stages of this, then we'll see really some incredible things here. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to be married whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her saying, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" And all of this sounds great. It's, you know, it's something I think I talked about a couple weeks ago, that life is lived forward but understood backwards. You know, when we live our life, we live day to day, and every day brings its new challenges and surprises that we deal with in our life. But life is only understood by looking backwards. And when you look at the Bible, and we look at the Bible, and we see the story of the Bible, it's always backwards. We see what happened. And so we see the beginning of the story, and we see the end of the story, and we see all the in-betweens, but seldom do we ever really connect maybe the emotions that were going on in the moment and these people that they were dealing with in that particular time and what was happening. This sounds like, you know, this angel shows up to Mary and is like, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And man, if God came and said that to me, I would think like, yes, like this is great. Only for her to receive news that were not great news. I mean, if you think about it in relation to the world that she lived in, I mean, this girl is going to have a lot of explaining to do. You know, a teenage girl likely who is engaged to be married, she's going to have to explain some things to her parents, you know, to her soon-to-be husband, you know, in that culture. If you get pregnant outside of marriage, I mean, that's a stoning. I mean, you can get stoned for that inside the culture. It's grounds for Joseph to be like, "No, I'm, you know what, this is off. It's off." And even in our culture, it would be grounds. Like, imagine yourself being engaged to somebody. Next thing you know, she's, you know, your soon to be wife is pregnant. She's telling you, "I don't know how it happened." And you're like, "Okay. You know, I need to explain some things to you," okay? And so this doesn't sound like blessed and highly favored of the Lord in the moment, not knowing the end of the story, not knowing all of this. And here it is Mary that enters into this disrupted life. And so looking at the story, there's three things that I want to point out this morning and just kind of highlight. The first one is an untimely timing, and this is oftentimes just the way God works, is that sometimes his timing is a little untimely, but it's always on time, and God always has a plan and a purpose behind what he's doing. I know a couple weeks ago when I was explaining some things that when it doesn't look like God is doing something, he's doing it on purpose, and when God is doing something, he's doing it on purpose, that everything that God does, he does on purpose. And we can see that in this story as well. But let's look back a little bit in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and kind of set the stage here. Let's talk. And so in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he and his wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Like, I don't know about you, but like when I first saw this video and I was kind of putting things together, I was like, an old lady is, like, I don't know this, you know, you got young Mary, this old, like, is that right? Did they cast this right? You know, doesn't seem right. But when you look at scripture, you see that Elizabeth was advanced. In other words, she was beyond childbearing age. It's almost like a Sarah type thing back, you know, with Abraham and Sarah. Luke describes an older couple beyond childbearing age. He describes them as good people, living a life of faith. Zechariah was a priest. He was a man of God. Yet in all of this in their life, something was missing. In a culture that placed value on having children, they had no children. And they cried out before the Lord and they prayed to God, asking God for a child. And then what we have here is we have God shows up. And in verse 11, we see it kind of carries on. It says, and there appeared to him, Zechariah, to him, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. You see, the angel encountered Elizabeth and Zechariah. The angel's encounter with Elizabeth and Zechariah reminds us that God's timing isn't always perfect, even when it seems timely. But just as Elizabeth, who thought she was beyond childbearing years, received a child in her old age, we can trust God in the good times as well as the untimely, challenging events of our life. And we can't, like, that, you know, maybe, you know, we face our own challenges in our life, and maybe we've been praying for certain things to happen. And here we see another example of that. And again, understanding that life is lived forward in the moment, that Zechariah and Elizabeth had probably been praying for a child since they were married. I mean, that's just the way. And so you could, you know, extrapolate 40, 50, 60 years of crying out to God for God to do something on their behalf. And yet for them, it felt like that God was silent, that he wasn't answering their prayers. And all along, there was a purpose behind it, and there was something that God was trying to do, that even when he wasn't doing, even when it looked like he was doing nothing, he was still doing something. And likewise, in our life, when we are crying out to God and we're going through challenging times in our life, we can still trust God, that God is faithful and that he is still, you know, working on our behalf, and that there will be surprises along life ways. And there will be blessings beyond our imagination, and there will be struggles that bring us to our knees. Yet we have the promises of God's word. And one of the promises of God's word, it is in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I uphold you by my righteous right hand. That was a promise from God that Zechariah, being a priest, understood. More than likely, he had all of that memorized. He knew exactly what the scripture said there in that time. That was a promise from God to Zechariah, and that is also a promise from God to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Look, confused, overwhelmed, frustrated. Okay, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All right, and I know, like, you could think in this moment that Elizabeth is here. Now she finds herself pregnant at an old age. She's probably thinking, how is this even possible? Yet God was working in her life. God was working in her life. God was answering her prayers and simultaneously preparing her. And here's the thing that you got to understand. Like, if she would have had a child, if God would have answered her prayers earlier, and this wouldn't have been timely, you got to understand that, like, behind the scenes, when God is doing something, he's simultaneously doing something else. And in this moment that she becomes pregnant 6 months before Mary, all right, God is not only answering her prayers, but God is answering Mary, or answering, God is preparing Elizabeth to be a significant voice in the life of Mary, all right, which was really important because of the culture that they lived in. And so, listen, you may be, you know, experiencing an untimely time in your life today, all right, that you may be going through untimely problems and untimely difficulties, and you may be facing untimely challenges. But hear the promises of God, that God is for you, God is with you, and even amid of life's disruptions and problems, you can still trust Him. And we see it here in the story. The second thing that we see is unexpected encouragement. And we look at the story, we carry on in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. It says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Mary and Elizabeth's joyful greeting reminds us of the power of community and the power of encouragement. When Mary walks into the house with Elizabeth, and the first thing that Elizabeth says is, "Blessed are you," I want you to imagine this, that is likely, more than likely, that was the first time in Mary's pregnancy that somebody encouraged her. I mean, living in a culture that would have looked down on her, that would have questioned her, that would have accused her. And look, our world is no different. Their world is, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. People today are no different than people back then, okay? It's just we live in a, you know, more advanced technological society, but, you know, we're often ourselves, you know, obsessed with judging others, jumping to conclusions, assuming the worst in people, you know, looking at the relationships and thinking about all of these kinds of things. And we already know that Joseph was struggling with it because he had to have a visit from the Lord himself. So it wasn't, I don't know, I'd seriously doubt Joseph was an encourager in this particular moment. More than likely, when Mary walked into the scene, you know, with Elizabeth, Elizabeth was probably the first voice of encouragement that Mary had heard in this whole cycle. And that's significant because Mary needed that, right? Just like anybody else would. I know that we try to, you know, and there's, you know, religions and cultures that try to idolize Mary as being some kind of like, you know, divine figure. But she was a normal woman, just like anybody else, dealing with emotions and questions, dealing with the issues of society. She was no different than anybody else, other than she found favor with God, and God chose to use her in this moment. All right, it's no different than like Elijah, for example. We see all the incredible things that Elijah. Well, Elijah was a great prophet that we see in the Old Testament. He did incredible things for God. But you know, in James, it tells us that Elijah was a man just like us. All right, what does that tell us? That Elijah had, you know, problems and issues and temptations, and he had doubts and frustrations, and he had some of the same tendencies that we all do. Because he was a man just like us, and Mary was a woman just like you, all right? And so you have to understand what's going on in this moment here to see that Elizabeth's exclamation of "Blessed are you" may have been the first positive words that she had heard in days or even weeks, all right? And then, you know, understanding the culture that we lived in, it was significant. And when we look in a passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and we hear these words of God as He continues to speak to us. In Isaiah 40, verse 29, it says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, even Zechariah could have turned to this passage to encourage Mary, Elizabeth, both of them maybe. We'll never know for sure. But what's evident is this, is that this is in not only is it an untimely move by God in both of their lives, all right, this fellowship that they had was significant for them, and it was needed. And it reminds us of the fact that, you know what, there are going to be untimely moments that we all deal with in our life. It's going to come to all of us at some point or another. And we all need community. We all need fellowship. We all need somebody and people in our lives that will say, hey, man, it's going to be okay. You know what? Blessed are you. It's going to be all right. And we need people to put their shoulders on our shoulders. We need people to give us a hug. We need people to pray for us when we're going through a difficult time. It's the power of community that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed Elizabeth in her life in that moment to speak positive words into her life when she was living in a world that was cruel and probably condemning her for what they didn't even know what was going on. And we need the same thing. And so, like, I'll just maybe point it out like this. During this Christmas season, as you are surrounded by your family, exchanging gifts and sharing time with your loved ones, maybe we can recall the importance of being an Elizabeth in the lives of our family members and a source of encouragement. Maybe you have family members that you'll be around over the next couple weeks, the next month, that you hadn't seen in a long time. And maybe it'll be a great opportunity for you to be a source of encouragement to them, where maybe they live in a world where they're not being encouraged by anybody. And you will have that opportunity to be an Elizabeth to them, like Elizabeth was to Mary. And the third thing that we see here is an unmatched miracle. In an ever disrupted lives, we may pause this Christmas season to embrace the untimely things that happen that come our way. May we look for opportunities to be that source of unexpected encouragement in the lives of others that we are around. And in all of these things that kind of can cloud the reason for the season and this Christmas season, you know, hopefully we don't miss the miracle that unfolded in the lives of these two babies born 6 months apart those many, many years ago. One was a voice crying in the wilderness to repent and prepare the way. The other was the one who was crying and preparing the way was for him. And so when we look at a couple passages, and Rob, you can go ahead and come. We see in John chapter 1, verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, then what, talking about John the Baptist, why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know. And then skipping over three verses to John 1, verse 29, it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The unmatched miracle that we see in this story is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is the unmatched miracle. John the Baptist was there to prepare the way for Jesus. He was a part of the story, the Christmas story, a significant part of the Christmas story. Not only was John preparing the way for Jesus, but Elizabeth was there as a source of encouragement for Mary to help prepare Mary and to help Mary get through the struggles and the untimely issues and things that she was dealing with in her particular culture. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, this baby born of this teenage girl in this world, this little gift of God was sent by God to take away the ends of the world. Why is that important? Because sin had separated us from God. You know, Adam's rebellion and disobedience in the garden separated man from God. And God created a temporary way to restore man, but it was very temporary. Scripture tells us that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. This is the reason why there had to be a sacrifice. It's the reason why it had to be a spotless, blameless lamb that was to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. And God, you know, set up this sacrificial system that became like a covering. It was really just to cover the sins of the nation. It was no more than that. And knowing that in his divine plan, there was going to be a moment. And man, there's so much to it. You can't get into all of it in a small sermon about the history of God and the circular nature of God that we see in the Bible. That in the beginning, it is with man in paradise, and it ends with man in paradise. And everything in the Bible is circular. It starts here, it works all the way back around, it ends here. And halfway through that point, we see that Jesus comes into the scene, and he comes into the scene to fix the problem. You know, the first Adam failed. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. And that the only way that we were ever going to find true forgiveness of our sins is for somebody to break the line of rebellion that man had created. And it had to happen through man. Man had to be the one to do it. And that's the reason why God had to become a man. That's the reason why God had to send his son Jesus to become a man, so he could live life as a man, to be tempted in every way, and yet not give in, to not yield to that temptation, to break the curse of sin, to break the curse of death, so that we could have victory in God, so that we could have everlasting life. And so what Jesus did, he died on, he was born, he died, he rose again, and in doing so, he restores our relationship back to the relationship that we had in the garden. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Like, Christianity is not about going to church and being religious. Christianity is about having a relationship with the Father. Jesus came to restore the relationship that Adam had with the Father back to us, so that we can have fellowship with God. And that's the reason why we don't need the priest anymore. We don't need the sacrificial system anymore. We don't need the temple and the altar of incense anymore. We don't need those things anymore, because the altar now is in our hearts. And now God has gotten as close to us as he can possibly get by indwelling in us, because our bodies are the temple of the living God. And so what Jesus did, he is the one who came to take away the sins of the earth, so that we can know him, so we can be in a relationship with him. All right? And if you don't know him today, you can. You hear me? If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know the Father today, God has made a way for you to connect with him through Jesus. And that's the miracle of the baby, is that God created a way for us to connect with him. And that opportunity is for you, just like it was for me. I remember in my own life, you know, there's no formula. You understand that? There's no formula. I mean, the Bible tells us, the closest formula that we have in Scripture is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the formula. But there's no formula for where or when or any of those kinds of things. I know for me in my life, it was a day when I was a young teenage boy, and I was laying in bed at my house, and I had this overwhelming feeling that if I was to die in that moment, I was going to be in hell. It was this overwhelming feeling of conviction and And it was, something was off, and in that moment, I prayed and I cried to God, and I said, God, just forgive me coming to life. I mean, I grew up in church, so I knew a little bit of some of the things to say, but that's the way it was for me. And in that moment, God restored relationship back to me. And since that time, it's been a journey. Okay, it hasn't been perfect all along the way. It's been a journey, but we all have to have that starting place because God has brought it there for us. All right. So listen, so that regardless of the circumstances that we go through in our life, regardless of the disruptions that we face in our life, regardless of the problems and issues that we deal with in our life, we can still have joy. Because there's joy in saying yes to Jesus. There's joy in knowing that heaven is your home. There's joy in knowing that even though life can really stink sometimes, that heaven is going to be so much better. That we were not made for this world. That we were not made for earth. That earth was not made to satisfy us and fulfill us. But there is joy knowing that there's something greater on the horizon. And that's the reason why in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel came and said to him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." How many people? All people. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money you don't have, doesn't matter your education, it doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter, none of those things matter, because it's for all people. Good news of great joy for all mankind. Come on, will you stand to your feet this morning? Listen, maybe if I could get some of my prayer people down the front, that'd be great. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing some disruptions in your life. There's some untimely things that have come your way. You don't know what to do. You feel overwhelmed. There's an opportunity this morning to surrender that to God and say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Maybe you're here this morning. You need somebody to encourage you. I'm just down and out. I'm battling depression and frustration. I'm just down and out, and I need somebody to encourage me. Let us be an encouragement to you this morning. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. But today is the day. Listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't even know if you have tomorrow. Let it happen today. God, I want to give my life to you today. God, I want to know you today. God, I'm sorry for my sin and my rebellion. God, I know that you're good and you're faithful and you love me. Come on, listen, maybe you need to do that today. Regardless of what it is, we want to pray for you today. Right? And we want to take this moment to let it be a moment with us and Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to worship God here together. We're going to honor him today to close out our service. And if you need prayer, I would encourage you just to come forward. Let one of these guys pray for you. They know how to touch heaven. They know how to agree with God with you. And we'll see God do something.